Good morning. As always, it's good to see you, but I think that today is a very special day in many ways. Special in the fact that many of our family are around us at this time. Of course, understanding the passing of Lawrence Cutts is momentous. His family has been and from the beginning and has guided us for so long, and his own view and so forth. As for the family, we are okay. We're okay. There's a hole that we can't fill just yet. And that's going to have to come in its own time. But as I consider the funeral yesterday and so many people from so many places and so many things that were going on, I just have to say that it is your presence that I look for and see those that are here always to hold us up when we need it. And we thank you. I want to thank also those that have come from so far. Those that have traveled a long ways that you might support us at this time. My heart goes out to you and I thank you so very much. And so then I think that we need to think about giving the clicker to the song leader, because if he picks up the speed, you see, and I shouldn't be picking on him. It's a hard thing to do. It really is. Oh, I don't have a PowerPoint this morning. I was been a little pressed over the weekend. So let me make a point just before we begin, that today is a special day in many ways. And for me to get up and do the same sermons that you kind of always do doesn't seem to be right at a moment like this for me. Now, may not be for you, and I may pull it off or I may not, but there is always an aspect of the gospel that I'm concerned about something that I don't understand. How did that happen? Why did that happen? Something along those lines that you have to, you just say, I don't get it. I don't get it. And so, as we will go back and read Luke 23 again, beginning in verse 32, but I'll try to make it where you understand where my problem is with this passage. It says, two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And that the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him. He saved others, let him save himself, for in this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him and offering sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now there was also an inscription above him that says, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the criminals who hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. The other answered, said, rebuking him, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and that we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, just remember, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I understand the political climate where leaders wanted Jesus gone because he's teaching resurrection from the dead. And I know that y'all know this, but it is the Sadducees that want him dead because they don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. They believe that there is no resurrection. It is the Pharisees that believe in the resurrection, but we don't believe in this man. And there's just calamity everywhere along these lines. And now we've got him where we want him. We're going to kill this one man and stop this pandemonium that's going through our country right now. We're going to do that, and we've got him here, and now they are mocking him, and so here you are. If you're who you say you are, come down from the cross, and now we'll believe in you. And I'm telling you, if it had been me, bing, bing, I'd come down from that cross. What do you think? What do you believe now? But he doesn't, because that's not the way it was planned, and that's not what it was about. But that's not what is troubling me. What troubles me is the two criminals. And we have the criminal that says, save us, because he's still all about himself and he wants to be spared crucifixion. I understand that. It's the other one who says, do you not even fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation, and defends Jesus? Now, I'm not big on crucifixion. As far as a manner of death, I don't really want to go through that. And if I've already been crucified and I'm hanging on the cross myself, I don't think that my thoughts are about who's up here with me. I think my thoughts are going to be about, ow, this is bad. And this guy has seen something, heard something that makes him believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And I don't think he's been hanging out with Jesus. And I don't know where he got his information. And so as you reflect on this, I want you to see, do you see your life there? And today, as we revisit them, do you see what were they thinking? And how does one of them then really come to this understanding? And you know the questions and the answers. And so instead of being just scripturally down the line, what does it say? I've tried to take what would you do if you were up there yourself, and you say this. And so the thief would be seeing something along the dirty walls and the dingy floor that he had been in prison, because that's what it is. It's an underground, basically, cave in a certain way. That there's rationed sunlight squeezing through the cracks, and the cell is shattered, and his days, and so are his days. Rats are scurrying around to hide. He wishes for his own hiding place. And what he hears is that the soldiers are coming in, and the scuffling feet is coming, and the prison door opens, and the guard calls with the compassion of a black widow spider. And he says, Daryl, come forth. And we know that men that had been strong men, after being in prison for a while, had equated darkness with life. And to come to the light means death. And they would begin to quake at that point. And so, my name has been called. It's time for me to go. And I know what's going to happen. I am going to go, and I'm going to be crucified. Many times they had to be carried out. As I come out and I'm the criminal, there's the defiant faces along the line that are looking at who's the criminals that are going to die today. They're looking at it like gladiator games. Oh, here we get to get rid of another bad one, and let's see what he looks like. Let's see how he acts. Let's see how it's going to be. Men spitting in disgust, women turning in derision. As the thief crests the top of the hill, the soldier yanks him down, and another presses his arm against the beam and braces it with his knee, and then someone pounds a spike into your flesh. You hear the pounding. Feel the pain. Pounding's in your head. It's a pounding of your heart. Your soldiers grunt as they lift the cross. And it drops into its place, into the hole that they've already had, because you see, crucifixion was common. When they carried the cross, they didn't carry the T cross. They carried the cross beam. and they threw you back and nailed your hands, and then they lifted you up and they dropped you into with the post is there, and when they drop you in locks, your pain. You think there would be any groaning from that? Then we hear the groans and the moans. Death that is on the way. My death is on the way. Golgotha plays it like a minor chord, and no lullaby of hope, no sonnet of life, just the harsh chord of death. Pain. Death. He sees them. He hears them. And then the thief sees and hears something else. For God, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Now, if you were up there beside him, what? What? A flute lilts on the battlefield. A rain cloud blocks the desert sun. A rose blooms on a death ridge. And Jesus prays on a Roman cross. Here's how the thief reacts. There's mockery. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him. Matthew 7:27-44. And having been hurt, the thief hurts. Having been wounded, he wounds. And even the Skull Hill has a pecking order. And this thief refuses to be the bottom rung. He joins in the jeers who are saying, he saved others, he can't save himself. King of Israel, is he? Then let him get down from the cross and show who he really is. And he didn't claim to be God's son, did he? Didn't he? Matthew 27:42-43. Does Jesus not retaliate? No. Takes none of it. The thief watches. For the first time that day, maybe the first time in many days, kindness. Not darting glances or snarling lips, but just patient forbearance. The thief softens. He stops mocking Christ. And then he attempts to stop the mocking of Christ. We deserve this, but not him. He confesses to the crook on the other cross. He did nothing to deserve this. In verse 41 of Luke. The thief senses he's close to a man heaven bound and requests a recommendation. Jesus, remember me when you enter the kingdom. And Jesus, who made and makes eternal life out of inviting illegal immigrants into his city, issues the grace-drenched reply, don't worry, I will. Today, you will dwell with me in paradise. And that bad day of that bad man is met with a tremendous gift. What do you think the thief sees at that point? He sees the son entrust his mother to a friend and honor a friend with his mother from John 19:26-27. He sees the God who wrote the book on grace, the God who coaxed Adam and Eve out of the bushes, that the murderous Moses out of the desert, the God who made a place for David, though David made a move on Bathsheba, the God who didn't give up on Elijah, though Elijah gave up on God. This is what the thief sees. All those stories have just now come alive. And why? Because he's done it for me. What does he hear? He hears what Moses heard in the desert. The depressed Elijah heard in the desert. The adulterous David heard it after Bathsheba. He hears what? A fickle Peter after the rooster crowed. The storm-tossed disciples after the wind stopped. The cheating woman And what she heard after the men left, the oft-married Samaritan woman heard before the disciples came, the hard-headed and the hard-hearted Saul, who would hear after a light stone, the paralytic heard when his friends lowered him through the roof, what the blind man heard when Jesus found him on the street, what the disciples would soon hear from Jesus on the beach early one morning. Life goes on. Here's the language of Christ. Grace that is undeserved, unexpected grace. Today you will join me in paradise. Paradise is that intermediate heaven while we wait for Christ to come again. The righteous will return to Christ there, and the saints will be there, that God is there. And now the thief who began the day in a Roman jail will be there. And with Jesus, there's no backdoor entrance. There's no late night arrival. Paradise knows neither night nor second class citizen. The thief enters the gate on Jesus' red carpet, and we understand why he believes. It's going to happen today, immediately. No rehab. Goodness and grace are going to come like golden sunshine illuminating the thief's dark day, and that the execution hill becomes a mount of transfiguration for him. Now, I've tried to make this personal. What do you learn? What do you learn when you think it's you? You see? Do you need him? Now, we've just given honor at the table. Thank you, Lord, for the gift that you gave us of your life that we might live. We just thanked him for the life that he led that was nothing but sinless and giving. Ending in the way that it is. And so, are you looking for that same grace that's been given so many times to so many people in so many ways? Or are you still about your own business? Yesterday's mistakes play the role of the Roman death squad as they escort you up to Calvary and the hill of shame, and that the faces of the past line the trail, voices that declare your crimes everywhere you go. You may call yourself Christian, but do you remember when you, and your head is down. You're soon, you see, you neglected your father and me. You let the habit rob your youth. You promised that you'd come back. You hurt me. And I'm talking as God would at this time. You said you would love me, and you're not here, and where have you been? And he could do that. He could point the finger at every one of us and make that statement, but he doesn't do that. And you're going to be nailed to the cross for your mistakes, your dumb mistakes. And what do you see? Death. And what do you feel? Shame. And what do you hear? It's the question. What do you hear? Can you hear above your accusers? Jesus says, today you will join me in paradise. Today, this day, that the stink of what's been going on, the throes of it, that Jesus makes a miracle out of it, and when others nail you to the cross of your past, he swings the door open for your future. Paradise. Jesus treats your shame-filled days with grace. He'll take your guilt if you'll ask him. He awaits all of your requests. His words to the thief will do, we deserve this, but not him. He did nothing. We are wrong. He is right. We sin. He is the Savior. We need grace. Jesus gives it. And so remember me when you enter your kingdom. And what do you think he'll do? enter in. Sometimes we get caught up in stories and that we read them and we dissect them and we overanalyze every little thing and we don't feel what was going on. And now we need to feel what's going on. That stating the conclusions of what is obvious in a story is not the point of the story. The point of the story is to affect you in such a way that you will leave that life where it is shameful, to become the person that God would have you be and that you want to be, because I want to be like Jesus. Sometimes we're distracted by philosophy instead of hearing the message. And it's a form of being too close to the forest to see the trees. Sometimes we're trying to prove what I already believe. And I know that I believe in what I believe. And you need to get off that horse. I hope that you're touched by a story. This story. And that you would identify with that thief, and that we would take a simple response that he made, and that we would make it for ourselves, that we would believe in God, in Jesus, in the Word, and then follow it. And then tell that story everywhere I go. I've known a man that did that. I want to be that guy. Who do you want to be? I'd like you to consider it. I want you to consider it deeply. And if we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing?